I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my dream till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my team till I met you. You called my name.
For quite a while. This is may have heard it on the Christian radio station. But this is Thanksgiving. This is what I'm truly thankful for.
I was a wreck. I remember who I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Led me from the darkness into glory.
check. Go ahead, keyboards in the last song. We didn't rehearse it.
Praise God. There is a day coming when the old will pass away. Every wrong will be made right. No darkness, no light. The sun will light the way. There is a King coming who conquered death and grave. No more pain and no more sorrow. This hope is for tomorrow, is our hope for today. He who was, he who is, he who was, he who is, he who is to come. Christ the Son of Man, riding on the clouds with a crown upon his head. Every eye will see him with the nail scars in his hands. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There is only one worthy of all glory and all praise. All wealth and all honor, all wisdom and power to the Lamb that was slain. He who is to the Son of Man, riding on the clouds with a crown upon his head. Every eye will see him with the nail scars in his hands. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He who is to come, Christ the Son of Man, riding tension growing stronger. It's just a sign he's getting closer. He's already on the move. Yeah, the story has been written. We all know how it ends. My future has an anchor. My eyes are on the Savior. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. the Son of Man, riding on the clouds with a crown upon his head. Every eye will see him with the nail scars in his hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he who is to come, Christ the Son. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
everyone.
Good morning.
Such a sweet, gentle spirit here this morning, desiring to love on us and to meet our needs. Our scripture reading this morning is from the gospel according to Paul that we call the book of Romans. So we can please stand. First, our chapter 13, verses 12 through 14 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness or in lewdness or in lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Thank you. Let's dismiss our children.
Good morning. Sorry it took me so long to get up, but everybody was heading to the back. Good to see y'all today. Welcome. Welcome to those online today. We're glad to be here to study God's Word, to encourage one another, to be church, right? You are the church. Congratulations. Jesus loves you. We're going to pick up in James chapter 3 today. We'll pick up at verse 13. And our title this morning is Friend or Foe? Friend or Foe? Father, we ask that you speak to us this morning. We come eagerly together, Lord, in so many aspects, Lord, to first be in your presence. We have the Holy Spirit within us, but when we come together corporately, Lord, it's a special time. It's a special time for us to engage with one another, for us to love one another, to encourage one another. It's great for us corporately, Lord, to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in song and in worship, in word. Lord, we just pray that you teach us to be in that relationship every moment of every day, because that's where we're going to find our hope. That's where we're going to find our peace. That's where we're going to find our being. We live, we breathe, we have our being in you. And so we thank you for this time, Lord. Speak to us today. Let us go away stronger in you, in our spirit, than we were when we came. Awaken our hearts to what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, recapping last week, we looked at how important it is to control our tongue. But we also saw how that man can't do it on his own. In his own fleshly nature, we can't control our tongue. It's the Holy Spirit in us and our willingness to die to ourselves that bring our fleshly tongue into submission to the will of God, along with the rest of our flesh. See, the tongue only speaks what's in the heart. And the heart reflects who we are based on whether or not we're walking in our flesh or whether we're walking in the Spirit. And our flesh has to be submitted to God in all aspects, including our tongue, which is just such a small part of our body. But it is the part that we use for communication. And with it, we communicate everything that we have in our heart. So we're continually told to examine ourselves before the Lord and ask Him to show us the things that we need to deal with. Self-examination is ongoing. It isn't a drive-by prayer. It isn't a one-time and done thing. It is an ongoing relationship. And in that relationship, we have to continually examine ourselves. Come and ask Him to show us the things in our heart, because we are deceptive people as well. We can deceive ourselves. Israel, a prime example, all through their time, we read in history, they would think they were right with God. But their heart was far from God. They were just acting out the religious practices. God wants to see our heart. He already sees our heart. He wants us to see it the way it truly is. So then we can come to Him and lay down those things that are not pleasing to Him. David wrote this in Psalm 51. This psalm was written after his affair with Bathsheba. And he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." And then skipping down a little further in verses 10 through 11 of that same chapter, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." And I believe that this is a prayer that we all should be praying regularly as we're seeking the Lord, meditating upon the Lord and His Word. We should be looking internally, not focusing on ourselves for gain, but focusing on ourselves for change, so that God would bring change into our life many, many times. And we've talked about this in relationships a lot over the years. It's so easy to find fault with others and go to God and say, "God, change them, change them." What we're really saying is, change them to make them so that I can have an easier life. Change them so we can be closer together based on my expectations. Change them, Lord, to be more like I want them to be. And that's not an appropriate prayer. Yes, it's appropriate to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I pray for my family. I pray for my wife. I pray for my kids. I pray for those that I'm in relationship with. I pray your Holy Spirit would touch their heart in a special way. But before I come to you with their problems, let me come to you with mine. And change me, O God," as David prayed. Because that's truly where change is going to come. A lot of times we do believe that it's everybody else is the problem. And the truth is that we're all a problem. And until we come to the place of understanding that our contribution is a big part of it, then all we're going to do is go in this cycle of relationship problems that just never seem to end. It's like one thing will trigger this, then this triggers that, then this back in the same circle. And God says, here, I'm here to break that circle because that's in the flesh. I'm here to break that off of you and give you hope for a change, hope for a new life, hope to be that new creation that I've called you to be. Therefore, I can then work on others as well. But that's where we all have to come, to that place of self-examination and understanding that He's working on all of us. Now this week, we're going to be looking at our works, or our actions, if you will, and whether they're done through wisdom that comes from humility and meekness, which comes from the Spirit, or do they come from our fleshly nature, which in that we'll have bitterness, we'll have pride, we'll have strife. So let's begin James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the first thing that James asks here in this text this morning is, who is wise and understanding among you? He's putting that question out there. Do you consider yourself wise? Do you consider yourself to have understanding? The question is a good question. Most of us would say yes, we're wise. A lot of us who have done a lot of bad stuff in our past would say we've learned from all that. We're walking in wisdom now. Well, we're walking in knowledge of what that stuff caused. So we have the 20/20 vision thing, but are we really walking in wisdom in the Spirit? And so James says, who is wise among you and understanding? And then he goes on and he says, if you are wise, then let your good conduct and works reveal this wisdom through meekness and humility. In other words, the proof's in the pudding. You can say, I'm wise. You can believe you're wise. But what do the works reflect in your life? Now, we've already talked about works-based religion. This is not work-based religion. These are the works that come from either our flesh or come from the Spirit within us. It's not about getting saved because you do these things. It's not about entering into relationship with Jesus because of the things that we do. It's because once you claim to be a believer and you claim you have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, then there should be works coming from that relationship, and it should reflect you walking in humility, not in pride. The changed person, the new creation. That's what's supposed to be reflected in our lives. It goes back to last week's message regarding the fruit in your life. Good fruit comes from good trees. And if the tree is rooted in Christ, then the fruit that is produced will come from His Spirit, and it will be good fruit. You can't have bad fruit come from God. You can't have bad fruit come from the Spirit of God. But if the fruit is bad, then we have to conclude that it's rooted in our fleshly nature, which will always produce bad fruit. Because our flesh cannot produce anything good within itself. So he's basically given us this self-examination right here in the first two verses we're reading this morning. If you're wise this morning, then your fruit should reflect that, by walking in humility, by walking in peace, and walking in the areas of the Spirit, not in the flesh. He's comparing fruit, is what he's doing this morning. In verse 13 here, It shows us that good fruit or works only come from the wisdom of the Spirit. But then he gives us the other side of the coin in verses 14 through 16. He says bitterness, envy, and self-seeking are all works of the flesh. They're rooted in pride. They're not rooted in the Spirit. And if this is where our heart is, then we're saying and doing the things that boast against His truth. The flesh can never, within itself, confirm who God is in our lives. Now we can go back and say, well, the demons believe and they tremble. We read that earlier in this book. Yes, but they don't believe in Jesus for their salvation. Why? Because they can't be saved. See, there's the difference between where He created angels and where He created man. When He created angels, they still had a choice, but if they chose to follow Satan, it was over for them. There was no plan of salvation for the angels. Now demons. So they know God, they know Jesus, but they cannot receive Jesus and walk in His wisdom. But as human beings, as the creatures that God created to fellowship with, to commune with, as He did in the garden, He gave us a choice too. But because we fell, and Adam and Eve made the wrong choice, and I don't come down too hard on them, because if it had been Grady and Jennifer, it would have been the same thing. Somewhere along the line, if it had been either one of y'all, it would have been the same thing. God prepared, though, a way of redemption for man. And that way of redemption was Jesus Himself. And Jesus now has come. He's fulfilled the redemption plan by coming and dying on that cross, by rising again on that third day, by ascending to heaven and being with the Father where He sits today. And now we as believers have access to that place to be with Him and commune with Him. This was His plan of redemption. And in that plan of redemption, He now gives us the Holy Spirit that we can now walk in that wisdom that comes from God. And in that wisdom, we choose to say the flesh is in the way. The flesh is always in the way. The flesh cannot do anything for God, to God, with God. It's against God, period. We're at oddities. The Spirit and the flesh do not commune together. Nor do any other religions commune together. The bumper sticker is a lie. We cannot all come together under a corporate religion of all different religions coming together. That's a lie. If you don't believe it, then you have to go back to what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we all think we can get to God any other way, you're believing a lie. So we can't bring those together, or we're calling Jesus a liar. So we have to come to this wisdom. It's all in Him. It's rooted in Him. But if we're still displaying these things in our heart, which come out of our mouth, as we talked about last week, it's bitterness, it's envy, it's self-seeking. They're all rooted in the flesh. It's all rooted in pride. And if it's where our heart is, then we're going to be speaking against God and boasting against God. No matter what we do, no matter what our good intentions are, if they're done in the flesh, it's not pleasing to the Lord, and it goes against God. Verses 15 and 16 make it very clear. This wisdom, talking about the fleshly nature, does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-existing exist, self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now see, this is a harsh reality for a lot of people, and even for a lot of believers when they come to hit this particular aspect of this. See, most believers don't understand that our selfish actions, they're generated in that flesh, they're generated not from God. If they're not generated from God, then where can they really come from? That's why he put in here demonic. See, what we don't understand, and this is an aspect that the culture will take, they'll get in your face on it. If you feel it, it must be right. If it feels good, do it. It's all about me and my truth, not you and your truth. And they bring all this fleshly division among against God's truth, because God says there's only one truth. And so therefore, if we come in our fleshly nature and say, no, I'm not accepting that truth for me because I feel this way. I desire these things. I want this. And therefore, this is my truth. Therefore, I am basically proclaiming myself that what I have is above what God has, and really worshiping yourself, which again, Romans 1 says, not a good thing. But if they're fleshly generated, they're not from God. They're sensual and demonic. And again, this is what we discussed a few weeks ago back in chapter 1. In verses 14 through 15, it says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So we can say that Satan's all in our face and made us do something. That's a lie. Satan can't, well, he's all in your face, but he can't make you do anything. It comes from our own self-centeredness, our own selfishness, our own desires that are already in place. So if that's true, then what we just read here in James, what we read this morning, is that those fleshly desires, if they're still there, they can be played by the demons. That's what makes them demonic. It's demonic when we allow ourselves to walk in that fleshly nature and go against God, go against His truth, and say that we think we know better. Then Satan comes in, whispers in our ear, adds that temptation on top of what we're already desiring, and then we choose to go after the fleshly side. And when that happens, we are against God. And it's demonic. Think about some of the things that are going on today. It is amazing to me that people look at some of the cultural things happening as, well, we just live and let live. They're okay. They're not hurting anybody. Well, some of them may be. We don't know. But they're believing a lie. And not only are they believing that lie, but then they're taking that lie and spreading it and then forcing it upon the culture as a whole and saying, this is normal. This is okay. You should accept this. And the percentages of these cultural movements that are speaking are very small. 90%, I will say, 90% do not agree with them. But the media, which are also led by the demonic forces in many cases, are spreading those lies and force feeding them on the culture, creating fear for anyone to speak up. If I speak up and say that transgender is a sin, then I'm a hater. Well, the Bible's very clear. The man's a man and a woman's a woman. There's only two genders. There's only two. You're born one or the other. You can't make it what you want it to be. Oh, you can carve yourself up. You can take medication and do whatever you want to do to yourself. Doesn't change what you're born. And unfortunately, that's science, by the way. That's biology. That's one-on-one. Very simple to understand. But you can't have that conversation when the fleshly mindset is in control. Because they are angry. They are bitter. They're in strife. But it's not just those movements. This is part of human nature to be against God since sin entered the world. We're adversaries. And the only way that brings us back into alignment is God and His Word through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can now come to a place where we understand the truth, not a truth, the absolute truth, not what other people want it to be. And this is where our racial divides are in the country today. This is where the political side of it is here today. Every aspect is angry, let's get upset and get out here and let's go storm and tear up something because people don't agree with me. And the Bible says as a believer, we're supposed to walk in wisdom. And we're supposed to walk in peace. And peace can generate peace when it comes from God himself. Now, peace is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. If we do something... here's the other thing. When we do good things out of our flesh, there's often an expectation of what kind of result we're going to receive. I'm doing this for so-and-so. I'm doing this for the church. I'm doing this for the community. And what if you don't get the response you thought you were going to get? And I've seen this happen in the church. I've seen it happen firsthand. Where somebody was doing something that was good for the church. It wasn't anything wrong with what they were doing. But then they decided it belonged to them. This is my ministry. I'm doing this. And if someone came along and added to or took away or did anything that made them think that their gifting or ministry was not what that should be, they'd blow up. They'd blow up. Why? Because they weren't doing it as led by the Spirit. They were doing it for self-satisfaction. Look at what I'm doing. Look how pretty this table is. Look at all the beautiful things I've put on it. And then somebody brings something put on that table. You're saying my table isn't pretty enough. You're saying what I did is not good enough. Boom, blew up. Seen it firsthand. Lost people over it. It doesn't make sense, but that's the fleshly nature. And another aspect of that is when we are called into to serve and to do a ministry, many times that fleshly nature still wants to stir it up. And it wants to say, I think we should do it this way, and I'm all excited about it, but nobody else seems to be as excited as you are. What happens then? Are you going to be angry? Are you going to be bitter? Because nobody else is helping you do what God called you to do in your mind? Or are you going to say, okay, God, if you call me to this, you'll provide for this. And you will raise up others to help for it to grow to be what you want it to be. Or if it's going to be simple and small and you want me to do this, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it out of the gratitude because you called me to do it. I'm going to have a grateful heart, a thankful heart, and a willing heart. And I'm not going to let my flesh rise up and say, I'm so upset that nobody else is doing what God wants them to do. Listen, God has placed his hand on a lot of different people to do a lot of different things. And they're not necessarily going to be in unity with each other as far as the actions go. But if they're all done by the Holy Spirit, they will be in unity with Him. And if they're in unity with Him, they will accomplish what He set forth to accomplish. It's not your ministry. It's His. It's not your gifting. It's His. And so this is the attitude that we have to come and examine. Am I doing this expecting this result? Many times people will share something with somebody because the Lord laid it on their heart. And if that person didn't receive it the way the person thought it was supposed to be received, then they're upset about that. Well, God, I did what I was told, and they're just hard-headed. And God said, yes, if you did what you were told, then just step back and let my Spirit do its work. Because He is going to do the work. We're not. We're just do as willing vessels what we're called to do. And often we will label people if we don't get the results we want. Oh, they're just unselfish or selfish and ungrateful people. When in reality, it's maybe us that has the heart issue. We may be the one that has the issue with the heart. See, we have to always examine our heart as to why we do what we do. Instead of creating an opportunity to find fault with others who aren't in agreement with what we do or how we do it. Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is still in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And again, keep this in context. When you remove the plank from your eye, you're now able to see and hear and everything else what the Holy Spirit is telling you about your brother, and you're approaching them, if they have this speck, through the Spirit, not through the flesh. And then it can be dealt with in accordance to how it's supposed to be dealt with. Not that we're going to go in and now, okay, I'm all clear, I'm good, I got that plank, let's go beat up everybody else. No. Then you still got a plank. You didn't look at the other eye. Got two of them. And sometimes I think those planks are big enough and they curve around getting our ears. We don't hear either. We got logs in our ears, planks in our eyes. I ain't gonna say what's up our nose. It's just bad. So we got to come to the Lord and lay it all down and say, okay, God, I want to be clean before you. I'm not trying to get man's approval, nor is it my place to approve other men. I want to be right with you. I want to submit myself to you. I want to learn what it means to have this heart self-examined. And let me tell you something. When you come to this place, it's not an easy place. Because God, in His faithfulness, in His holiness, in His righteousness, and in His gentleness, He will bring you to what you need to see. And sometimes we may not think it's all that gentle. It's always right if God's doing it. But we may not feel the gentleness at the moment because there may be some pain that's associated with it. And when we have to face that pain, that's the hardest part for any person to do, is face the pain and give it to Jesus. Many face the pain and want to hold on to it and turn it and turn bitter over it or angry or frustrated over it. Sometimes we want to bury it and pretend it never happened. But any time that we handle it in the fleshly nature, it's going to show back up somewhere else. But when we give it to God in fullness and come to that altar and say, God, You've shown this to me. I have this in my heart. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to know that I'm ugly when I speak to my wife. I don't want to see that. I don't want to know that I haven't raised my kids the way I should raise them in the Lord. I don't want to know that about myself. But God needs to show that to us so that we can be changed. And then we are a new creation in our marriage, a new creation in our parenting, and new creation in relationship. But it all comes down to the attitude of the heart. If we're not willing to look at our own heart, then our sensual desires will be exploited by the demonic realm, and Satan, being the master of deception, will cause us to believe that our actions are okay, or in some cases even godly, when they're not from him at all. Now again, Satan doesn't force anything on us. He simply manipulates what's already there. And any time envy, bitterness, or self-seeking are present, confusion and evil are right there as well. Always. Now verses 17 through 18, they again show the contrast of our works when rooted in God's wisdom, which again, I believe, is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do not some of these sound familiar? Have we not read some of this before? Peace, gentleness, pureness, holiness. Don't they look familiar? Are they not from the Holy Spirit? Are they not the fruits of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22 through 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another. Envy, something we just read about here, envying one another. this passage of the fruits of the Spirit goes hand in hand with what we're seeing here in James. It's the flesh against the Spirit. It's walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. And the spirit of the flesh will always be contrary to one another. The Spirit and the flesh cannot coexist. The Holy Spirit wants enough room to move around and do what He needs to do in you. And if you're full of yourself, He doesn't have much room. And He's not going to force you out. He wants you to come willingly. He wants you to come with an open heart and say, God, I don't want to walk in my flesh anymore. I'm from my own personal experience, I can look at my past and I can still see the wake behind me from all those years back that I was not walking with the Lord. All those years of pain. Some of it came upon me. Some of it I then redistributed. And it was there. The consequences I still see. But I also see when I met Jesus face to face. And He broke that off and began a reconstruction project. First off, He had to go down and tear up the foundation. The foundation of selfishness, the foundation of sin, the foundation of anger, the foundation of bitterness, the foundation of not being in control. The foundation of insanity, borderline insanity. He met me there. But I didn't know I was there. I would have told you everything was great. Everything was fine. Pull up your bootstraps. Get it going. You don't need no help. But my life goal at 18 was to be a hermit. I didn't know how to be in relationship. I praise God that He met me in my darkest moments. Because if not for Him, I'd still be in darkness and lying to myself or be dead possibly. I don't know. But because God is who He is and because He made a way and because He wanted to break that off and reveal Himself to me, and because I had reached that point of brokenness that I could not feel love from anything, anyone, anybody, or know how to connect with anyone or anybody, that's where He met me. That's when He told me He loved me. That's when He lifted me up and He said, now, we've gotten to the bottom of this. And I'm not saying I visualize this, but I can in my mind think about all that I was standing upon broken up. And He picking me up and He put me on a firm foundation and began building what He wanted. Does that mean I got it all together today? No. Don't talk to my wife either. She'll tell you all the things. But what it does mean is that every day is a new day. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Morning by morning, I have this refreshing time to say, today, I'm here in Jesus. Today I have this day. Today's the day of my salvation. Today is the day that I want to walk in You. And that's why we have today. We can't go back and we can't plan too far ahead because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we have today. And we have the Holy Spirit. We have the gentleness. We have the kindness. We have access to all of it. If we're not getting that from the Lord, if we're not experiencing the fruits of the Spirit operating in our lives, then that brings us back to the self-examination. Are we still walking in the flesh, which is hindering us receiving the fruits of the Spirit? Or are we willing to die to those things and allow the Holy Spirit to take control? Once again, our flesh can only produce bad fruit. But His Spirit always produces His fruit, which is always good fruit. So if we want peace, we have to first die to ourselves to receive His peace. And then we sow peace. If we want joy, we have to die to ourselves to receive joy. And then we sow His joy. If we want patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we have to first die to ourselves to receive those things from the Lord. And then we sow those things into others' lives. But you can only sow what is planted in you. Otherwise, it's not in you to plant. And if it's not in you, then you're out there casting fake seeds or bad seeds. You're not sowing good seeds. So we have to abide in Him. Now James continues his thought in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. He said, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses!" Exclamation point. That's what James is saying here. If you are walking in your fleshly nature and claiming to be a Christian, you're walking as an adulterer or an adulteress, because you're not married to God, you're married to your world, to the flesh, to the things of this world. And you can't have both. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Again, most people would not believe that about themselves. Oh, God's okay with this. God's fine with it. I mean, He knows I struggle, or He knows that this is my desire, and He wouldn't allow that desire to be in me if He didn't want me to walk this way. I mean, there are people that believe this stuff. They can't come to the understanding that they're making their own choices. They're living their own desires. And God didn't plant them there. It came from the selfish, sinful nature. And Satan plays on it and convinces people that I can do whatever I want to do, and I'm okay with it because God's okay with it. I prayed a prayer. I've checked my insurance box. I'm good to go. And that is a lie, because it's not about a religious box you check. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every dissension or every division in the body of Christ, in the church, comes from our own desires for pleasure that war in our own members. If you're warring against your own flesh, then it's going to come out in a group, in the body of Christ. It's going to come out. Why? Because if you're really warring and your flesh is winning that war in that moment, you're going to be angry when somebody speaks truth from the Word of God. You're not going to want to hear it. You're not going to want to receive it. And you're going to want to argue about it, and you're going to debate. That's not true. God loves me. He lets me do this. He allows me in this. Well, according to the Word, which is our standard, what we have to come to, this is what the Word of God says. And if you're warring in your flesh, there's going to be conflict in the body of Christ. Wars, as James calls it. Because you're warring in your own members, it will war out in the members of the body of Christ. The bottom line of what James is teaching us this morning is we as individuals, we are the church. Not the building. It's you. It's me. Individually. And we come together corporately. We worship together. We grow together and encourage one another. But if any one of us is individually bringing our own personal desires that place themselves into the corporate body with their own personal desires, it will affect the whole body. And it will not be a positive effect. 1 Corinthians 5:6-8. "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be in a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, in context, this passage that I just read, 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, is speaking of purging out of the body who are practicing sin and becoming complacent or accepting of that sin. That particular passage was written about the individual who was involved in a physical relationship with his mother-in-law. And the church kind of just accepted, just let it be, didn't deal with it. And so Paul wrote a very hard, he said, listen, you got to deal with this. You can't just let this happen. So in context, I know that that's what that was speaking of. But applying this principle of leaven versus unleavened, if you apply this principle to our own lives, it's very important. What is the leaven in our own heart that needs to be purged out? What is that area, that issue, that middle, the attitude, the whole attitude of our heart? What is in there that is leaven and we need to purge out in order for the Holy Spirit to bring the unleaven into us, and we are now purged from that bad lump, if you will. Now we're new. If it's in our heart, it's going to come out of our mouth. And it will defile others. And these are the things that war against our own members and our own being. And James makes it very clear here that if we're hanging on to the things of the world, we can pray and we can ask something from God and then not receive it. Why? Because we're asking for something for self-gain. Something for ourselves. This is what happens when we bring the world into the church and try to blend them together. They don't blend. And it just will not work. And there will be envy. There will be strife. There will be bitterness. There will be pride. There will be all of those things stirring within ourselves, only to bring it corporately into the body to bring problems and trouble among our brothers and sisters. And James here is saying, it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be this way. We have to self-examine. We have to know what we're bringing in. We have to know that if I'm so wrapped up into this thing of the world, and it may be a news report, it may be somebody we're following on YouTube, it may be anything in our own mind is set that we are so convinced is true that we want to bring it in and warn all our brothers and sisters about what's coming, and look at all this and look at all that, and next thing you know, your brothers and sisters said, well, I'm not sold on that. I don't necessarily agree with that. Well, if you can have a conversation, let people, whatever, fine, but if you can't, which a lot of people can't, then they're at odds with each other. And those oddities bring division. Exactly what Satan wants to do. He doesn't want us walking in peace or sowing peace. He wants us walking in what we think we know and in our fleshly nature and throwing it out there and saying, if you don't believe me, you're just wrong, and that's the end of our relationship. See, it comes down to all these little things. Not necessarily big things. Big things are obvious. The little things, not so much. But it's all what we put in. It's all what we choose to engage with in our daily lives. And I promise you, we all do it. You all got people you're listening to right now. And some of them are godly people and saying godly things. But some of them are on that edge of bringing the world into it and making you think that every headline is some spiritual revelation. Some are. A lot aren't. And so we just need to put that in its proper place, submit it to God, and say, okay, God, if that news report means this is it, then hallelujah, because you're doing something. I'm getting what's happening out of the Word, not out of what man writes. I don't know the timing, but I know God's in control. And I'm willing to not pull myself into a place of frustration all the time and fear all the time because what everybody else is saying out here, and the Bible tells us, hey, Jesus loves me. Jesus is coming for me. I've got a life of eternity with Him. I don't have to worry about when, where, why, what. I know who. And who is what we hang on to. Not the whys and the wheres and the what ifs. Because we don't know. We don't know. But are we a friend of God? Or are we a friend of the world? Abraham obeyed God and it was accredited to him righteousness. He was also called a friend of God. If we as individuals are friends to the world and with the world, then we're not friends with God. You can't be both. We're His enemy if we're friendly with the world. And there's no middle ground here. There's no middle ground. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And in today's world, we won't have everybody else's cake too. Not just your own. But there's no middle ground here. We're either a friend of God or a friend of the world. And I know that there are many today, many preachers today who've watered down the gospel. They've denied God's word. They're welcoming evil in the front door of our corporate assemblies. All in the name of love and acceptance. But God's word is clear. The only ones who are accepted by God are those who know and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Period. And the full counsel of His word. Not picking and choosing what we want to apply to our lives for our truth. Because it's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's His truth. And that's all that matters. So what if it goes against every aspect of the world and every aspect of the culture? Stand your ground on God's word. Not saying go out picking a fight. I'm saying stand your ground. Don't cave to the woke mentality of the culture. Because they're deceived. But also, if we're supposed to sow seeds of peace, then we ask for wisdom from the Holy Spirit to speak peace into those situations and then let that seed be. It's not our place to grow it. If we're called to sow it, we sow it and then let it be and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. So many times, again, going back to what I said earlier, is the fruit. Well, they rejected it. I shared it, but they just about beat me up because I shared it. But you shared it, right? Okay, then the Holy Spirit will do the work. If the person's heart is willing, and often many times people's heart, the ones who shout the loudest and yell out, are the ones who He's dealing with in that moment. And it very well be that they may go home all mad and angry, but broken before the Lord. And the Holy Spirit then can minister to their heart and change their heart. But all we did was be willing vessel. We can't be fruit examiners or even fruit pickers. Not our job. Our job is to sow the seed of peace in context of what we're talking about here. Anything other than being in Jesus, rooted in Him, being a friend of God, is being a friend of the world. And for those false teachers who are keeping people in bondage, they will be held accountable. So the question is, are we a friend or are we a foe? Are we with God or are we an enemy against God? Friend of God? That means we walk according to His word. That means that we're willing to die to ourselves. That means that we're willing to recognize that our fleshly nature can produce no good fruit. And we have to come to Him and ask Him to change our heart so that He can plant good seeds in us. And then all the fruits of the Spirit comes in us, and then we're able to sow that as He leads us to do so. But it comes from Him. And if we're not willing to accept that, but think that we have something to bring to the table, to think that we're wise in our own eyes, and that was what it said in the book of Judges. Everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes. And look at all the trouble they kept getting into. The only wisdom that we can claim is wisdom from God, and it's not ours to claim, it's Him in us. So therefore, we take that wisdom as He gives it, walk it out, live it out, believe that He's the one that gives it, and keep our attitude in humility, not in pride. Anything else will bring it, will bring division. And that's not of God. So that's the question that I'll leave us with today. Are we friend of God? Are we walking with Him? Are we believing Him as Abraham did and obeying Him as Abraham did? Or are we in word saying, yeah, I'm a believer. And then we go do our own thing till the next Sunday. Between us and God, each one of us has a choice to make. Friend or foe. No middle ground. So, Father, we come this morning and we put these things before You. Of each one of us has something in our heart. None of us have reached perfection and won't reach perfection in this life. You are perfecting us. And when we die and meet You face to face, because we are walking in obedience and we're willing to die to ourselves and we're willing to come to You with every aspect of our flesh, Lord, we know that we will see You face to face and You will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We will know You will embrace us and we will live with You for eternity. But for those of us, Lord, who may be lying to ourselves and thinking we're right with You when our heart is completely distant from You because we haven't obeyed Your word, we haven't accepted Your word as truth, maybe there's parts of Your word that we just can't believe. Well, that has to come to You and put it down at Your feet because, Lord, there's nothing in the word of God that we cannot believe. There's nothing in the word of God that is not true. There's nothing in the word of God that changes in variance, Lord, in regards to what sin is and what sin is not. And sin is a very simple thing. It's anything that goes against Your word. That's sin. And so we come and we lay it down. And for those who are willing this morning, I ask that you just come to the Lord with an open heart and ask Him to reveal to you in your own heart, in your own mind, what are you holding on to that maybe He wants you to let go of? Don't be a friend to it, because it will put you in a place of being against God. And God wants to be with you. He wants to be with us. He wants to fellowship with us just as He did with Adam and Eve before the fall. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to engage with us. He wants to lead us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to give us the fruits of the Spirit. He wants to give us all the good things from the Father, which only come from the Father above. But if our lives are full of frustration and all the emotional aspects of our life are controlling us, then we haven't surrendered to Him. And He wants it all. So I encourage you this morning, lay it down. First, ask Him to reveal it. If you don't feel you know what it is, ask Him to reveal it. He will bring the answer to you. Could be through someone, could be through the Word itself, with someone. However the Holy Spirit chooses to do it, He will work with you where you're at. And He will not leave you there if you're willing to move forward. So God, we just give it to You. We thank You, we praise You, and we love You. And we desire You above all things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ned, will you grab Paul and have him come up? We're gonna pray over these. These Samaritan boxes, I didn't get to count. There were 28 when I got here this morning. I believe we have more now, so I don't know what the total count is, but we're gonna pray over this. Paul organizes, him and Mary organize this every year for these boxes they collect, and he's going to be taking them down, I guess, today. You want to come up here or you want to do it down here? What you want? You don't talk loud enough. Come up here. Ned, turn his mic on. We want all of us to hear the prayer.
Turn to wife.
Yeah.
Are these two more?
Yep, two more.
Wow. I am impressed. We started the morning out with 28, then two more came in, so that came to 30, and now we have 32 boxes. What a generous congregation we have. We're blessed. That's really neat, guys. Thank you so much. So let me say a little prayer over these, and as Grady probably told you, Mary and I will pull these and put them in the car and take them over to a central location, another church. And they'll be packed there into bigger boxes, and then they'll be taken to a further central location, probably in the Atlanta area, where they'll be all sorted out and distributed out to all the children that are going to receive these. And this is not just the local area, this is not just the state, this is not just the nation, it's international. So there's a lot of impacting that's going to take place with these little boxes. So, Father, we just want to come before you this morning and just thank you, Lord, for the gracious gifts that were given. Lord, these are wonderful little gifts for children that have basically nothing. And on that day when they open it up on Thanksgiving or Christmas, when they open those boxes, they'll see lots of gifts. And that'll at least give them a joy for that. But, Father, there's a greater joy that's in that box. There's the gospel in there. And, Father, my desire and our desire is, Lord, that gospel message would be given to those children and that they would seek the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive, and that's becoming a believer and a follower of you, Lord. So we just ask, Lord, that you would protect these boxes as they travel. Give Mary and I protection going over there to deposit them. And, Father, most of all, the bottom line on all of this, Lord, is for you to be glorified in this process. So we thank you for that, and we praise you, Lord, and for the generosity from this congregation. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Amen. There's one other thing that there's like 32 here, but I know of at least three other individuals that weren't able to put boxes together, but they donated monies, and that's going for the delivery and the mailing. So thank you again to all of you for giving this church the way you do and the love that you have. It's remarkable. Thank you.
Praised him in song. We have shared